This is the only time in Mark's gospel that disciples are called apostles. It only appears in Matthew's gospel once, and only six times in Luke, and never in John's gospel. So I think it's important to understand this fact, because we tend to think of apostles always in terms of those 12 who may have had some special place or some special calling, which then allows them to be excused too easily from taking up our duties as disciples of Jesus. If it's only those 12 apostles, we're off the hook. So, guess what? We're not off the hook. The Gospel of Mark, as I've said many times, is a school of discipleship. It's a kind of catechesis. It's a formation program for anyone who would want to be and feels called to be a disciple of this rabbi, Jesus. Notice today that he teaches the people, and they have come to hear him teach. They've already expressed their amazement at his teaching in the synagogue. And they express that amazement because he teaches with authority, which means he's authentic. He backs up what he teaches with deeds and behavior. He teaches them to care for one another and turns right around and heals. He teaches them to feed the hungry. And in this gospel, he's just about to do that. Look a few verses ahead. He teaches them about forgiveness, and then he forgives Peter and even those who nail him to a cross. He wants them to hear the word of God. So what does he do? He opens the ears of the deaf. He wants them to see the glory of God. So he restores sight to the blind. He wants us all to have life. So he raises up a dead girl and the only son of a mother, and he calls Lazarus out of a tomb. All so that we might be one, might live in unity and live in peace. Every one of us in this place has heard the call to be a disciple, a student of this teacher. It's why we're here and not somewhere else at this hour. And there are plenty of other places we could be. After all, it is happy hour. But in terms of this time, and in terms of history, the teacher has gone after teaching us everything that was revealed to him by the Father. Day after day, we can understand the feelings of Jesus as he looked at the people. It was way more than pity, which is a soft way of translating really what Mark really said in his gospel originally. When Jesus looks at the people, he doesn't feel sorry for them. What really the verb is about, it's a gut-wrenching word that really Mark uses in the original language. It's the same feeling a parent would have at seeing their own child suffering. Jesus makes the needs and wants, the hurts and pain of these people his own. Disciples of Jesus Christ look at our world and they ask what deep and truly human hopes and hungers are being unconsciously expressed in the blind competition of sports fans, the addictions that plague every level of society, the supremacy movements, and all the isms that divide us who live on this earth. Some political leaders benefit from discord and division, and some religious figures make a fortune out of suggesting that we should wait for everything to be resolved in heaven, and then look upon all our riches as blessings without a word about the obligations that come with all these riches. Jesus taught those people, and he still teaches us. What he teaches is the will of God, his Father. He teaches that the wants and the needs, the hurts and the pains of all people are our own. And that when anyone is hungry or hurting, we're all hungry and hurting. So he teaches that God wills for us all to be one. He teaches that mercy and compassion is the only way people made in his image can respond to one another. He teaches us to feed, to heal, to forgive. He does not teach us judgment or vengeance. Having taught us these things, he has then sent us all out to teach and to preach. We do so, first of all, by what we do at home, in an office, and at school. It is not necessary to teach or preach with words. In fact, until there are deeds, and until there's some action, the words are vain and empty and silly. As the Lord waited for those 12 to return and report on what had happened, I think he still waits for us to complete his work on earth. And only after we have fulfilled his command should we find a place of rest. The question now is, how much longer does he have to wait?